Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
This morning, you open your heart and receive the word the Lord has for you. It is the same Jesus I want to talk about this morning. It's the same Jesus I want to talk about. Life is meaningless without Jesus. Life is meaningless. Your life is directionless without Jesus. Until you meet Jesus, your life is a mess. The Bible describes a man that has not met Jesus as a dead man walking. It describes a man that has not met Jesus, that has not accepted Jesus, as a dead man walking. Our message must be Jesus. The top of our messages, our services, and all of that must be Jesus. The middle must be Jesus. The end must be Jesus. Do you know why? All things were made by him. Without him, there was not anything made that has been made. Oh, no wonder the Bible says, describing Jesus as the living word in the book of John chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, there was not anything made that had been made. In other words, everything you see, everything you know, made by Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 24, I believe, it says, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and all who dwell in it. Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to Jesus. So our life must be lived for Jesus. So it is important for us to know who Jesus is, so that we can follow him more dearly. So that we can follow him. So that we can long after him. So that we can live for him. Apostle Paul, he was doing all sorts of things, crucifying the church, you know, persecuting the church, doing all those things. But when something happened on his way to Damascus, what happened? He met Jesus. And the story changed. The Apostle Paul that was persecuting the church started preaching the gospel, started winning souls for Christ, started planting churches. What does that tell us? It tells us that when you meet God, when you meet Jesus, you discover purpose. The purpose of Apostle Paul, right from the foundation of the world, was to be an evangelist, was to be a church planter. But you know what the devil did? The devil held him bound. The devil held him bound. The spirit of whatever it is consumed him. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says, for whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them. Apostle Paul hasn't seen that light yet. He was blinded. He couldn't comprehend. He didn't believe there can be a man that would be doing all the mighty things Jesus was doing. But he met Jesus, and his life changed. Oh, how about Paul Olasode? I was a fraudster, gambler, think of anything. I was doing all of those things. But guess what? Christ, out of his fullness, out of his grace and mercy, he found me. He didn't bring me out of my dirty pit. He didn't bring me out of my pit to say, okay, let me bring you out so that I can die for you. No. While I was in the grave, dead in my sins, living as though I am the owner of my life, Christ came into my grave, into that pit, and he rescued me. That is the same Jesus I want you to know this morning. That is the same Jesus I'm here to preach to you this morning. Hallelujah. If you look at the book of Hebrews, you discover that they were finding it hard to comprehend how that there's a new system. There's a new sheriff in town. Such that you don't have to go to a prophet to seek the face of God. Such that you don't have to wait for an angel to come to tell you, oh, you will give birth to a son and all of those things. They were finding it hard to believe. Why? Because they were used to a particular style. They were used to the old way. They thought, oh, if God wants to speak to us, it will come through the prophets, it will come through angels and all of that. You know, when they commit a sin, They will do what? They will go to the priest. They will go with their whatever, their animal. And the priest will do what? Will slaughter it. But guess what? All of those things were just for a little while. For a little while. Couldn't wipe out the sin of man entirely. So guess what God did? Although it was his plan from the beginning. It was his plan from the beginning. Guess what God did? He sent Jesus. So when Jesus came, they were not, some of them believed, but some of them were still like, could this be true? Could this be true? And they were arguing and all of those things. But I'm here to put it to you this morning. Maybe you are like the Hebrews who are still finding it hard to believe that there is a king called, Jesus. I'm here to let you know this morning that there is the king called Jesus. I mean, angels will appear to these people and give them a message, and it will come to pass. Elijah, Elisha, Moses, all the prophets, they did wonderful things while they were here. They performed miracles. As a matter of fact, one of them, Elisha, he was dead in the grave. The body of a dead man landed on him, and the man jumped up to life. Why? God worked mightily with these people. But none of them could be king. None of them could be king. Do you know why any of them couldn't be king? Because they are not the sons of God. They were not perfect. They were not perfect. Moses had his flaws. Elijah. They were not perfect. They were not the perfect fit for that cross. Only Jesus was the perfect fit for the cross. Jesus is greater than any prophet you can imagine. Any prophet, any God, Buddha, Muhammad, any, name it, any God, Jesus is greater. Oh, you may be thinking, how about angels? Angels are boy, where Jesus stands. Jesus sends, even we are greater. Do you know? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those that are heirs of salvation? If you are heir of salvation here, can you wave to the Lord? Angels go on errand for us. We can say, angel, help me run this stuff. Angel, help me run this stuff. So there's no way. So the Hebrews, they were arguing and having all of these things. They couldn't believe that angels care. But the Bible was telling us they are ministering spirits. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 103, the latter part of that psalm, he says, angels hearken to the voice of the Lord. They do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So it is what the word of God says that they do. You will never find an angel moving of his own accord. Just waking up and saying, oh, I'm going to deliver a message. The message that God did not send you, the last person that tried it was defeated, is in hell right now. Satan. They go about delivering the word of Jesus. I've said all of this to let you know how great Jesus is. Jesus is the greatest. He is the King of Kings. There is no doubt about that. From Genesis to Revelation, everything in the Bible was about him. I decided to do a study to say, okay, let me see Jesus. I want to see Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. And I'd like to read it to us. Hallelujah. Just pay attention. In Genesis, it was the seed of the man, of the woman. In Exodus, Passover lamb. In Leviticus, high priest. In Numbers, bronze serpents. In Deuteronomy, prophet like Moses. In Joshua, captain of our salvation. In Judges, righteous judge. In Ruth, kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, the anointed one. In 2 Samuel, the king of grace and mercy. In 1 Kings, the greater than Solomon. 2 Kings, miracle worker. 1 Chronicles, son of David. 2 Chronicles, perfect king. In the book of Ezra, he was the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he was the rebuilder of broken walls. In Esther, he was the advocate and deliverer. In Job, he was the redeemer. In Psalms, he is the shepherd and king. In the book of Proverbs, he is the wisdom of the Lord. In Ecclesiastes, he is the meaning of life. In Songs of Solomon, he is the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he was the suffering man. In Jeremiah, he was the branch that was righteous. In Lamentations, he was a man of sorrow. In Ezekiel, he was the son of man. In Daniel, he was the fourth man in the fire. In Hosea, he was the faithful husband. In Joel, he was the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he was the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he was the mighty savior. In Jonah, he was God's missionary. In Micah, ruler from Bethlehem. In Nahum, he was the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he was God's God, it was God my salvation. In Zephaniah, mighty to save. Hey guy, restore of the temple. Zechariah, pierced son. In Malachi, he was the son of righteousness. Son of righteousness, not S-O-N, S-U-N, son of righteousness. Oh, let's go to the New Testament. In Matthew, he was Messiah and King. In Mark, suffering servant. In Luke, son of man. In John, son of God. In Acts, risen Lord. In Romans, justifier. In 1 Corinthians, resurrection and life. In 2 Corinthians, comforter. In Galatians, he was freedom from the law. Galatians 5:1, he says, for it is for freedom that we have been set free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. In Ephesians, head of the church, Philippians, the joy and the strength. Oh, Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. In Colossians, was the fullness of God. The Bible says, having the same principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him by the cross, the fullness of God. All things were made by him. Everything was made by him. When you think of God and you look at Jesus, you see God. God and Jesus, one. In 1 Thessalonians, soon coming king. In 2 Thessalonians, he's the avenger. In 1 Timothy, he's the mediator. In 2 Timothy, he's the faithful teacher. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the advocate. In Hebrews, the great high priest. So they didn't believe there could be another high priest coming that would be perfect, without blemish, without sin, pure, only righteous. They didn't believe. In James, is the Lord of glory. In 1 Peter, is the chief shepherd. In 2 Peter, is the day star. 1 John, is love made manifest. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. In 2 John, is the truth and the life. In 3 John, model of faithfulness. In the book of Jude, Lord coming with 10,000s. In the book of Revelation, just like we read, is the King of Kings. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is there. So there's no way Jesus is not the greatest. Talk to your neighbor and say, Jesus is the greatest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have I given you the title of this sermon? So let's call the title. Honestly, I'm what? Hold on. You want to say something? Okay, hold on. So you want to ask a question, right? Hold on. When I'm done with the sermon, I will give you an opportunity to ask. Is that fine? Chubby, just stand together for him. All your questions will be answered, okay? Good. All right. What should we call the based on what you've asked, what do you think this title of this sermon should be? King Jesus, right? Hallelujah. King Jesus. So why is Jesus King? Number one, why is Jesus King? He is the Son of God. Jesus is King because he is the Son of God. Say, Jesus is King because he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. There are so many arguments online that, you know, all these Muslims and all of those people, they will come and say, how is Jesus the Son of God? Where did he? He's a servant. He's this, he's that. Even me, I'm not a servant of God. Even me, I'm a child. Me, like this. I'm the child of God. How much more Jesus? And they're arguing. So I have three scriptures to show us this morning. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. I want to show us how that Jesus is the Son of God. And he's God. He's Son of God. He's God. All joy. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. And then we'll jump to verse 14. After verse 4, all right, we'll jump to verse 14. Let's be together, guys. Media, please. KJV, me and KJV. We the always, our past know the, we know the CIS, man. Before I start, they say M. This one will take my time. I'm very classic. Give me like NLT. Good. Let's be together, loud and clear. 1, 2, go. In the beginning, the word. In the beginning, the word already existed. You know what? Yeah, this one is fine. Now, the one way I know is that. Let's just get, I want to go. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Good. Let's use it. I want to go. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Very quickly, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We need to know that Jesus is God and he is the Son of God, so that we will not be tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. We need to know. It is important for us to know. So let's read together. 1, 2, go. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Who are we talking about here? Is Jesus the Son of God or not? Is Jesus the Son of God or not? Is Jesus God? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 6 to 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace." He says, he will be called Wonderful, he will be called Counselor, he will be called Prince of Peace. In other words, you are going through trials, you are going through temptations, you don't know how to come out of it, you don't know how to deal with that struggle. You have a counselor in Jesus. You have a counselor in Jesus. The Bible calls him the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty One, undefeated champion. No man enthroned him, no man can dethrone him. He is the Mighty One. He's the Mighty One. Just like we read here, he said the government will be upon his shoulder. In other words, he bears the responsibility of everyone. Don't look to the president for help. Don't look to, these people don't even care about you. Look to Jesus. The government is upon his shoulder. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace there. He's not necessarily talking about like the calm. No. The Prince of Peace means that when that separation happened between God and man, he was the only one that could bring peace. He was the only one that could step in. He was the only one that could step in. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Isaiah 53. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 16 to 17. Jesus asked Simon. Matthew 16, 16 to 17. He asked Simon. He said, "Who do people say I am?" Simon replied and said, "You are Christ, Jesus, the Son of God." And Jesus replied him and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father. It has been revealed to you by my Father." In other words, even God acknowledged the fact that Jesus was the Son. Can you see? He said, "This thing you said, that I am the Son of God, hasn't been revealed to you by flesh and blood. It has not been revealed to you through the ogogoro that you drank or anything. It has been revealed to you by my Father." By my Father. Oh, our popular scripture. I want us to read it together. I'm sure we all know it. John 3:16. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Media, don't give us. Let's read it together. You don't need to look at your Bible for this one. 1, 2, go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." He says, "For God so loved the world." What did he do? He gave his what? His only Son. Number one, I said, why is Jesus king? He is king because he is Son and God. He is king because he is Son and God. Number two, Jesus is king because he brought about our adoption to sonship. Jesus brought about our adoption to sonship. Elijah couldn't do that. Moses couldn't do that. The great men in the Bible couldn't do that. As powerful, as anointed as they were, they couldn't bring about our adoption to sonship. Oh, let's read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14 to 17. Romans 8, 14 to 17. Media. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14 to 17. Let's read. Okay, let me just read it. It says, "For those who are led by God are the children of God. The spirit you received does not make you slaves." Please pay attention. "The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. 17 now. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Oh! If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Can you see that? He calls us sons. He says, we are not slaves. He says, we are not slaves. If Jesus has made you son, if Jesus is calling you son, and you are still living like a slave under the influence of Satan, the devil's greatest desire is to have you bound. He wants to keep you bound. Bound. The reason why he wants to keep you bound is because he knows that the moment you realize your freedom in Christ Jesus, or the moment you are free, you become a tenant to his kingdom. Oh, if I were you, I would break free. If I were you, as this sermon is going on, I would make a decision in my heart not to be a slave anymore. Not to be a slave anymore. Not to be a slave to sin. Not to be a slave to whatever it is that the devil puts on my table. If I were you, I would just step into the zone of sonship. Turn to your neighbor, say, step into the zone of sonship. Hallelujah. He adopted us. Jesus adopted us. He took us in. He accepted us. He allowed us. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of the woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, please pay attention to this part. Wherefore, you are no more a servant. God speaking here. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are an heir of God through Christ. You are not a slave. You are not a servant. You are a child of God. You have been adopted to sonship. What that means is that everything Christ has, you have. Legally, when you are adopted, a lot of things will change. You can't bear your name anymore, your last name. Everything about your former family is wiped out completely, permanently. You are even going to sign. Do you know what I'm saying? You cannot bring the load from your former family into your new family. They won't allow it. If I adopt a child, I cannot allow that. First of all, I will do the demands for you. Don't bring them out to my house. Right? But you cannot say, I have adopted you and I won't have rights over your life. If I adopt, that means you are my son. Now, like say, Nami born you. You are living under my roof. What that means is that you live according to my dictates. Because this is my house. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this is my house. I pay the bills here. I put food on the table. You can't choose to wake up and say, I want to go to the club today. I can decide to say, no, you are not going. And you also can decide to disobey. Then what happens? That means you won't go back to your old family. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with adoption to sonship by Jesus. We have been adopted into a new family. You have been adopted into a new family. Jesus paid the price and brought you out of that old family into his own family. He brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was what Jesus did. He brought you out of darkness. That you are in darkness. So now you are in Christ. You are in a new family. You have been adopted by Jesus. You can't live like you still belong to the former family. You can't live like you still belong to the devil. No, you just can't do that. Because you have been bought. Jesus paid. He paid the price. You have been blood bought by Jesus. So you can't afford to live according to the dictates of your former family. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are a new man now. You are a new man now. The things you used to do before, it has been blotted out. You can't afford to go back to your vomit. You can't afford to come into this new family, dwell in this new family with the sins, with the weight of the former house. No wonder the Bible was speaking in the book of Hebrews. It says, since we are so surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that easily besieges us and strip ourselves of every sin. That's what the Bible says. So you have been adopted to sonship. And what that means is that you must live according to the dictates of the family. You belong to the family of the Lord now. You cannot do whatever you want anyhow. You cannot do things anyhow anymore. Now you need to have a mapped out plan for your... You need to like carry out God's mapped out plan for your life. I have some thoughts on sonship. Thoughts on adoption to sonship, or whatever you want to call it. Thoughts on adoption to sonship. God doesn't do anything without a mapped out plan. God does not do anything without a mapped out plan. He doesn't. He doesn't do anything without a mapped out plan, and neither does he do anything without a purpose. There's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose. There is a reason why you are here in church today. There's a reason. You may not know it, but I'm sure there is a reason why you are here today. God, you could have tried to stay back at home, but God brought you here. It was God that brought you to church today. It was not because he's watching his majesty. It was not because, this is my church, so he's normal. No, the devil doesn't want you here. But God had a bigger plan and brought you here to church this morning. I'm saying all of this to say that God has a plan for everything he does. Every single thing he does, he has a plan. Jeremiah 1:5, he says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Jeremiah was saying, he replied though, God said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah responded to God. Are you please following me? Jeremiah responded to God. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I am too young. I am too young. I can't speak for you. God said, right from your mother's womb, I have called you. Right from your mother's womb, I have appointed you prophet to the nations. I have appointed you to be a preacher of good news. But you are here saying, I am not perfect. I can't do this. I am young. I'm a stammerer. I'm this. I am that. But God is saying, I have a plan for your life. God has a plan for every life. Everybody, God has a plan for your life. Just like Jeremiah. Then the Lord replied him when he said, oh, I'm too young. He says, don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. You must go wherever I send you. Especially now, the Lord is saying to us this season, wherever I say you should go, go. Forget about the provision. God gave the vision. The provision is nothing to God. A prophet was hungry in the Bible. Do you know what God used to feed him? A raven. God used a raven to feed a prophet. You'll be thinking, well, no, there's no such thing as well. Do you know why? Ravens are eaters. Like, they eat a lot. Like, they eat a whole lot. So, God decided to choose raven where they chop. Where we say, nah, eater, he like food, God. He decided to send raven to go and drop the food. And guess what? They don't burn that raven where, make it chop that food. He won't find me that. God send you on an errand, you. Have you ever heard that something before? Small chops and they ate your samosa. It has not happened to me before. But God, I beseech you, please don't let it happen to me. Because the one that will pain me the most, what's that long one? That long one. It's Pingo that looks like this. Now that one I like pass. I will now order small chops. You will now eat my Spingo. Chevy Spingo. But I go. You don't go for you. So I saw. Oh, I said I'm not going to laugh. Today no be laughing matter. But anyways, let me say this. So because I see all of you are already looking at me. Baba, oh, I'm serious for this church. Our first time as we are cooking with ingredients. So let me share this story so you laugh. You must laugh. So I saw this video. The guy apparently was a prankster, and then he ordered food from this guy. And so the Okada guy brought it, the dispatch rider, whatever. He brought the food. And the guy was now, so the pranker was now saying over the phone, hello, Alpha. Say, so you put the rat poison. You put them where we're inside the food, Abby. Say, hey, you put them where we're Abby. All those rats must die today. So the guy that came to deliver the food, what was he? He has paid him more. He said, maybe they go. The guy was like, bros, okay, you put rat poison inside the food. That was like, yes, now, any problem? He said, no, nothing. He said, okay, you can go. He said, so you put that one asked him, did you eat out of it? He said, no, I didn't eat out of it, though. He said, so why you can't question me? Why you go to put rat poison inside food? He said, Shebina, my money. Now my money now. He said, but if I don't talk, I'm saying you put rat poison. He said, why I go tell you? Shebina, they send you, come make you deliver food. Why I go tell you, say, I put rat poison? He said, nobody say I chop him on that. He's not chop. Guys, is there any dispatch rider who try that nonsense with me? Could it be funny? You go chop. I order rice. Do you know that? So, whenever I'm in Lagos, things are quite easy in Lagos. If I don't want to, you want to order Uber, they will say, they will call you. Uber, right, bring 5K. No. I bring 3K. You now call. You say, hello, boss, Alpha, where you there? I say, I did for Mokola Kibiko. He say, where you go? I did go some go. Say, how much did I bring? 3K. Bros, you go pay 8K. I'll be like, 8K, bro, now 2K did I bring? Oh, now 3K did I bring? Oh, yeah, I will give you 4K. He say, bros, maybe make you cross, go take bike. One has said it to me before. So things are not quite skinny in this ballon. But Lagos, I order my ride, I go where they go. Even if I'm going to a place that will take me 1 hour to get there, even at 500, the ride drink. Now 500, I will give you. They won't even question you. But you know, if you know, you like, you are nice enough, I can just say, let me tip you small. So things are quite like easy in Lagos when you want to like order. So I know they bother even order food for this place. Before I go call this fat guy, say, let me pick this food somewhere. He will say, delivery fee is 3K. Or food of 1.5. I'll pay delivery fee 3K. As how now? Do you get it? So, okay, now, how did I get it? Remy, thank you very much. And the Remy don't chop the food. Our God is an intentional God. Everything listens to God. The moment God told the Remy, this food, go and deliver it to the prophet. They don't burn him, they don't chop him. So, if God sends you on an assignment, if God sends you on an errand, don't bother about the transport fare. Don't bother about it. I used to tell, there's somebody I've been telling that I learned one major lesson this year. In this kingdom, as a child of God, we don't use money to do project. We know they use money. We don't use money to do project. We don't. You want to do a project and you are waiting for money to come. Before you do it, you will never do that project. I wish I learned this lesson early in my life. I've done buy house for Bahamas. But you know, it's okay. I will still buy it soon. But I'll buy it in Nigeria first. Do you get it? I need that place. Thank you very much. So we don't use money to do project in this kingdom. If God says go, or you have a project you want to do, start that project. When I wanted to move out of the place I was living before, and I wanted a new apartment, I didn't have shishi. Shishi I didn't have. I just decided that January, no matter what, come what may, anything we want to may stop. I'm leaving this house. I want a new house. What do you assume? I've been in this one for years. I want a fresh, clean, brand new house. I didn't have money. As a matter of fact, the last 2 bay in my account was what Ibex and I used to move around inside Bodija, because I wanted Bodija. I wanted somewhere like cool now. Do you get what I mean? So I wanted somewhere cool and all of that. And then so we took it now. So from Mokola to Chat 2 bike, we had like 1.6 with us. And you know, whenever we meet, maybe like all this gate man, is there any apartment here? They will say, no apartment though. Because you know how this thing can be now. Oh yeah, bros, you too. Take 500 for answering us. You get? We go to another man. There was even another man. His name is Mr. Sabo. Oh, I love that man. He took us to different houses. And you know, we were about to give him money. He said, no, don't worry. No, don't worry. So like, I didn't have money for house rent. And I didn't find house. I went to one. He said, 1 point something. Oh, no, this is not. I like it, but it's not my pocket. But he said, this one. 2 point something. No. House rent, 500K. Total package, 1.2. We didn't have money to leave. I didn't have money. She I don't get. But, shasha, I found this apartment. I went there, I like this, it's not bad. It's good, it's nice. I went there. She told me the amount. I said, Holy Mary, Mother of Jesus. Told me the amount. Ebenezer, you better work with faithful people. Don't play with church. Don't play with the family. I'm telling you, some of you say, I can never date anybody in church. It's mosque, you want to go and date somebody? I know that they do friendship with church people. Oh, it's club people you want to do friendship with. Thank God I had a faithful friend by my side, who I met in this church. The woman told me the amount. I said, I was about to say, okay, maybe. He just said, okay, no problem, we'll pray on Friday. I looked at him. Which Friday? Today is Monday. Not Monday, Kenny. Today is Tuesday. You say we'll pray on Friday. But you know. He was saying to me like, nah, person, when no person, they do person. He said, we'll pray on Friday. He said, immediately I said it. Because of course, now, me said, he day, no matter. I said, yes, Friday. She said, Friday. I said, yes, Friday. Tuesday, of course, that day, Tuesday, I was all over the place. Say, okay, God. Because somebody had already made a deposit. And no one made that house pass me by. Because I was not going to pay. Agency and all of those things. Sha. I went to the bank. Stanbic Bank, where I don't they use all these years. Totsin. She was as a man. Bank where I don't they use all these years. I want to take loan. Man, screw me, I want something. Let me shall take loan. He said, no, your account is this, your account is that. What if my account is this? Check the money when they enter my account steady. If not, say, since be money when they enter my account, no be this thing. What do you mean by? I cannot, I'm not this, I'm not that. What do you mean? It has to be, they say, it has to be, is it family, business? What's that? So rubbish. I was angry. I picked up my phone. Who can I call to loan me money? I wanted to borrow money. Say, I need my phone for this Friday. It does not pass. I called a friend. So, because you're not usually comfortable with these things. We know they beg, we know they borrow, we don't need believe now. So I called a friend. He wanted to loan me money. She said, oh, yeah, send your account. I said, hold on. Let me I see what God wants to do Friday. The money did not come Tuesday. Wednesday, you know, come. No Wednesday money. Somebody gave me a gift. Gift that I did not beg for. Hundreds of thousands. Gift I did not beg. I did not say, please, but I did not even say follow me money. Gave me on Wednesday. Miracle. Bamba. Everybody say bamba la miracle. Another one. Something. See, like God, I did not beg anybody. I did not borrow. I only believed God. Imagine if I was waiting for money to come. I'll go see the elder from my house. They say, I must get my apartment. They say, some of us, we are praying. God is saying, Baba, move. There's something inside of you that you move. Just move first. You just let's take that one step. There's a guy I've been telling in this church. He's my friend, and he doesn't mind me saying this. You need another apartment. Ha! Don't wait for money to come. I'm not looking at his direction. Don't wait for money to come. Don't wait for money to come. We know they use money to do projects for this house, for this kingdom. Just go. Go and look for the house. When you get the house, guess what? The Edmund did not answer me. And me, guess what? I had plans. I was saying, if this guy don't make the move, it's already too late, so don't bother making the move. I was like, if this guy don't make the move, and he don't say, I don't see how, so now my money remain, no. Shebi and me, they say, you know they use money to project. Shebi, I will let God use me. Say, the house rent, you know, take so amount. But guess what? The Egbo did not make the move. He was waiting for money to come before he started the project. And guess what? Me, I've spent my money. Is it my fault? No. Why is it not my fault? Because we know they use money to project on the most serious note, guys. But yes, there can be grace, right? There can be grace, right? There can be grace for that young man, right? But the grace may not come from. I'm joking, guys. But really, when God sends you on an errand, when God gives you an assignment, that vision, go. That business, start it. You know they add God. You get, start it. If you see, if you have a deeper understanding of this whole sonship thing, you will know that everything you need has been paid for. You will know that your father, you will see God as your father. Your father. What that means is that everything you need, he can just do like this, bam. He says, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you having all enough sufficiency may abound to every good work. So that you have all. He has made all grace abound towards you. I spent all my time on stories. And you know what that means? I think I spent so much time talking with that dude. My spirit is carrying me, go there. I don't know. So let me just keep. Yeah. So I was talking about adoption to sonship. When whatever Christ did, we should do too. We have been blood bought. We cannot afford to behave like bastards when we are a child of God. Do you know some Christians behave like bastards? They behave like they have never met God. They behave like they don't belong to God. They behave like kini. And they've actually like met God somehow. You can't afford to live like a bastard. Doing whatever you like. Living anyhow. Going to different places anyhow where you want. I just wake up this morning, I feel like smoking. I wake up this morning, I feel like fornicating. I wake up this morning, I feel like drinking. You are not a bastard now. No, you are not. You are a child of God. Can you see? I don't know how you people see these things. There are some things, maybe they're not supposed to see for a child of God, and there are some things, like some places they where you're not supposed to go. Some songs they where you're not supposed to listen to. Do you get? You don't have any business in these places. What are you going to do for in the club? You are a Christian, and stripper is dancing in front of you like this. And you are a Christian. How? No, it doesn't make sense. You are a Christian. That one is all of us. You are a Christian. You are lying. Some people can lie. It's okay. Maybe you are in the world. Maybe let's just know that when you have not accepted Jesus. But when you have accepted Jesus, there are some things that should stop. See, I was a chronic liar. I could lie that I'm a lady. I'm serious. I think that was the only lie I didn't tell. Even if they don't go beat me. Do you know what? Let me tell you one thing I did. Before I used to lie. You will see how this doesn't even make any sense. I used to lie that I was a Muslim. And then ask me how. I used to lie that I'm serious. I used to say my name is Yusuf Wahab. Is this devil? Why are you lying? Okay, that lie, you don't get any of this thing. I'm telling you, no reason for it. But because I was in darkness, I never met Jesus then. The moment I met Jesus, one of the ways I knew that, Paul, Otigba Jesus, lie. I started detesting lies. Like, when someone, even till now, I hate it when people lie to me. If they always do me one kind, I said, Why do they lie? So see, a change must happen. So now that I've met Christ, I cannot afford to start behaving like a bastard. Lying to people. You think it's just one of those things? No, it's not one of those things. Lying is a sin too. You are not a bastard. A child of God, why are you tapping light? And there's quiet in church. Why are you tapping light? My brother, why are you tapping? You are tapping light. My brother is tapping light. Receive the grace not to tap light anymore in Jesus' name. No, you are a Christian. Why are you tapping light now? Somebody has an argument. Do you have not anymore? Guess what? The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wait. Let me tell you something. I've tapped light before. Do you get all this thing I'm saying now? I just repented like February. But guess what? Repentance. I shall not repent. You too can repent. On the most serious note, why are we tapping lights? I understand. Kimiko is this, Kimiko is that. But who told you God cannot give you money that you buy light? light for the entire year. I know people who do it. Buy light for the entire year. And you are not feeling it. Do you know what I'm saying? All these little things matter. That's how we know whether you be bastard or not. Eh? That's how we know whether you be bastard or you don't be bastard. Let me go back to my place. How do you know whether you be bastard or not? I used to lie. Eh? And this morning, my male beat. Oh God, ask my sister and brother. My male beat me so they she tired. Say, whoa. Oh my, I don't want to say I give up. She said, what? There was a day. My mommy sent me. Let me hold this. I think I like this place. Ah! Omo, it's sweet making all the old things like Mike like this. So. I don't find new hack. Everybody say new hack. So one day my mom sent me on an errand. Like I was really young. And in all honesty, she sent, she gave me 1K, I can lotta with this paintball, fine coat. Do you know that? Send it to Grand Pepe. Ladies and gentlemen, after all that, no. She gave me 1K. 1K in 2000, maybe 2006. Imagine 1K. Maybe like 2007 or thereabouts. I lost 1K. I went to play table tennis. There's one called Shocker. Promise you will know Shocker. There's one called Shocker, right? Because we grew up on the street together. So there's one called Shocker. So we usually play 13 naira. I'm like, you know, gel. And God is my witness. I did not use that 1K to bet. I did not. But guess what? Because lie. Oh, the mommy, Lala. Nothing where I want to tell my mother. I didn't go home. I just stood for several hours. My mom was looking for me. She was cooking. Long story short, by the time I got home, guys, Omogu. My mommy beat me. So the last lap of the beating, now Omogu she used. She give me B. Guess what? Emina, I be equal boy. The way it landed on my head, I knew that something hit me. So I acted like I fainted. So she too was scared. I think that was the last time my mommy like really, really, really beat me. Do you get that? That time she didn't beat me. But that was the last time she like really, really, really beat me. So I used to lie a lot. Nothing we are not stealing. My mommy took a loan. From where she business. Omo. I think it was 300K. She kept it in an oval. Mama, I know they take 1K, 2K, 500. Mama, I go pack them like this. I always pack them like this. 300, I'm serious. I think it was 350. I will just go, Z. And you know that, you know that whatever the devil gives you does not last. I used to be a very good table tennis player. Very good. It is the money I steal. It must be play better by me on Niger. But any money they dash me or I got like through a just means, I the always chop. So I will collect, I will go and boo. Everybody say boo. I will go and pack money. I will go and use the bet. They go chop them. My mom will say, oh yeah, let's, she open oven like this. Oh, what did you know? Hey? So my, if you are wondering why I always pour affection on my mother, now because that woman don't see for my hand. She don't see for my hand. But there is grace. There is grace for everybody. Look at me now. I can never, ever, 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 ever steal again in my life. Okay, what do I want to steal? Money, shoes. Eh? What am I going to steal? Do you get? I have it all. Yeah, I have it all. Yeah, I have it all. And guess what? You have it all too. You have it all too. Do you know why? Jesus has it all. And because we belong to Jesus, we have it all. Somebody say, I have it all. I lack nothing. Oh, I have it all. I'm like Manchester United. We have a song. We've seen it all. We've won it all. We are Man United and we're never gonna stop. We have seen it all. We have won it all. Do you know what I'm saying? So there is grace. There is grace for somebody in this house. There is grace for somebody in this house. There is absolutely nothing you have done that God cannot redeem you. Nothing. Nothing, no. This morning, I want you, if you came into this church as a bastard, I want you to go back as a son. If you came into this church as a slave today to darkness, I want you to go back as a son. Do you know why? Because that is what God has called you, guys. God has called you to be sons, to represent Him on this earth. Oh, let me talk on the last one. It's not the last one, but let me skip a lot of things. Number three, Jesus is king because He has an excellent name. I'm wrapping up now. Jesus is king because He has an excellent name. Oh, let me share a story with you so that it will let you know how names can be very powerful. There was a time, Ebenezer and I were on a set, a movie set, and you know, a lot of movie stars were there and all of those things. If I mention that one movie, you know it. We were having a conversation with this guy. Apparently, his late dad used to be very wealthy, very popular, he's a very popular man, but I don't want to mention his name. You know him for sure. So his son was on the set. And you know, Ebenezer and I was asking him, say, Omo, bros, you'll be living in wealth now, you'll be living in money now, this one, that one. He said, no, that he's not living in any wealth, too. That the inheritance did not even get to him. That he a grand, grand, great, great, grand, 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 grand child. That's why the inheritance didn't get to him. He said, but there's one thing. Whenever I go to a place and I mention my surname, they ask me, is your father this? And I tell them yes. They open doors for me. I get opportunities because I just mentioned my father's name. That is the name of a man. My name can open some doors for you. Pastor Fred's name can open some doors. But there is one man named Jesus. He opens every door. When he opens, no man can shut. When he closes, no man can open. He has a name. His name is King Jesus. His name is King Jesus. His name is excellent. His name is King Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 2, it says, for God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of that name, of every knee must bow, of this in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. He now went on to say, and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. He says, He has been given a name. Jesus has been given a name. The name of Jesus is mighty to save. The name of Jesus is able to set you free. The name of Jesus breaks chains. Breaks chains. Breaks chains. Oh, Apostle Peter and John, they met this man in Acts, in the book of Acts. They met this man, and he was saying he wanted money from them. And they said to him, silver and gold I have not, but that which I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And guess what that man did? Immediately, he stood up and he started walking. How did that happen? It happened because of the name. It happened because of the name of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus. Because of the name of Jesus. Jesus obtained this name by inheritance as a result of his finished work on the cross and the life of holiness that he lived. King Jesus was given this name as a result of obedience and submission to the cross. Let us go to Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 8. Let's read it very quickly. Obedience and submission. Jesus was obedient to the cross. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Okay, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Next. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used as his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus got this great prize. He got this name through the obedience to the cross. There is a lot of things we'll be getting from God if we are obedient, if we are submissive to Christ. Are you submissive to Christ? When God says, do this thing, do you do it or you argue? The name of Jesus can't work for you if you are not submissive and obedient to God. The name of Jesus will not work for you if you are not submissive and obedient to God. After all, the name was gotten through obedience and submission to God. So how will it work if you are not obedient? If you are not obedient, when you are not submissive to God, you are proud. You are proud. You are saying, I can do it by my own. You are proud. You are saying, I don't need God to run my race. You are proud. You are saying, I can be rich without God. I can be wealthy without God. After all, there are people that are not Christians and they are wealthy. Okay. Do you know what they do? Do you know what they do? Let me tell you something. The moment you identify as a child of God, there is special problem from the devil for you. Special, curated. You know how Spotify, they create playlists for people. There is special created problem for you already. And you are saying, there are people that are not Christian. No, you need God for everything. You need God for everything. You cannot ask a mountain to move in the name of Elijah. You cannot ask a mountain to move in the name of Paul. You cannot ask a mountain to move in the name of Pastor Fred, Abraham, Moses, Elisha, Isaiah, Ezekiel. You cannot ask a mountain to move and they will move. It is only the name of Jesus when being invoked can cause mountains to move. Can cause mountains to move. Oh, Jesus was moving in Mark 11:22. He says, have faith in God. He caused the fig tree. And the disciples are asking him, Master, the fig tree without causes and without away. The Bible says, Jesus answered, have faith in God. Verse 23, if you believe, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the middle of the sea. If you don't have that in your heart, it will happen. If you believe in Jesus, nothing will be impossible for you to do. Nothing, absolutely nothing will be impossible for you to do. You will lay your hands on the sick. No wonder the Bible says, Mark 16:17, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. In my name, they will eat anything and it shall not hurt them. That is what the name of Jesus can do for you. That is what the name of Jesus can do. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything you are going through? The name of Jesus, the mighty name of King Jesus, is able, is mighty to save you. Is mighty to save you. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The reason why you have been trying to use the name and it's not working for you is probably because you have iniquity in your heart. It's probably because you are not righteous. It's probably because you are still a bastard. It's probably because you are still a slave to darkness. No wonder the Bible says, let every single person in the book of maybe 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. He says, everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity. He says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity. The name of the Lord will not work for you. The name of Jesus will not work for you if you are living a life of sin. It won't work. Forget it, won't work. Kole work. It's not going to work. You must be righteous. You must be righteous. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. No matter the situation, can you invoke the name of Jesus? Can you stop living like a bastard? You see a demon. I don't know what's wrong with me for the past few weeks. I've been feeling like, make demon even day, make. Because I've realized there is no mountain that will not, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, at the mention of the name of Jesus, what is that chain? What is that chain? At the mention of that name, every knee bows. The Bible says, we have been endued with power from on high. We have been endued with power from on high. It is time for us to go out, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind. Do you know why? Jesus said, greater works than this shall ye do also. In other words, he was saying that all the works that I did, you will do greater works. And the Bible says, book of Proverbs, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines what? Brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Unto the perfect day. How can you make the name of God work? How can you make the name work for you? Number one, let your faith be anchored in the name. Let your faith be anchored in the name. In the book of John chapter 14 and verse 13, he says, and whosoever, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, is your school fees part of whatsoever? Is your dream car part of whatsoever? Is that dream house part of whatsoever? Is your whatever it is you are believing God for, part of the whatsoever. He says, if you ask in my name, I will do it for you. If you ask in my name, but the name will not work if you don't believe it can work. If you don't believe it can work, don't let anybody deceive you that you have to pray 6 hours before. It's not by works. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, there are so many testimonies. There was a pastor, he was shopping somewhere, he just came out from church in the evening. He was shopping somewhere, and there is this allergy, right? He entered the store, very big man, rich, stinkingly rich, entered the store, and he was saying to the pastor, you, I know you, I see you on television. The pastor was like, okay, glory to God. Say, you are saying Jesus is God. Jesus is not God. Prove it. He said, I can't argue. Jesus is God. Well, but if you know, he said, prove it. He said, what can I prove? He said, if you are truly, if truly this Jesus, you are saying he's the Son of God. Wait. Then he made a call. He called his house, and the driver came with his very big car. The man was rich. He traveled. If I mention his name, you know him in this country. Travels all around the world, and he came with this lady, demon possessed, bound by the devil. And she was there. Bound with chains. And he said, okay. The pastor was like, okay. And guess what he did? He invoked the devil. He said, in the name of Jesus, let her go. And the devil left the lady. She's been like that for 4 years. Carried her to different parts of the world for treatment, but to no avail. Took her to Babalawo, to no avail. Took her to Abla Afa, to no avail. But the moment Jesus stepped in, the name of Jesus set her free. The name of Jesus broke that chain. She slept for like 3 days straight. The man said, I will call you. If this is your Jesus, can you call? The man called and he said, please. So after 3 days, the man did not call the pastor. The pastor was saying, wait till they stop. How come? Say the girl, she know me, something don't do any. Then 3 days after, the man called, he said, she has been sleeping. What did you give my child? Can you call? He said, don't worry. And then 4 days after, he called the pastor and he said, please come to my house right now. The moment the pastor got to the house, all of them knelt down. They said, I want to receive Jesus. This Jesus is the true Jesus. When you invoke the name in any situation, people get to have an encounter with Jesus. People experience Jesus. Men are drawn to Jesus. As I conclude this morning, if you go to forensic, there are no evidence stacked up against a child of God. Don't let any devil in earth deceive you. I'm stressing that. If you are a child of God, you are free. You are free. You have been set free. The Bible says, for who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. You have been set free. So don't let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Don't let any enemy, any Satan deceive you into thinking you are not free. There is so much God wants to do. I need somebody on the keyboard, please. There's so much God wants to do with your life. There's so much God wants to do with your life. God wants to do a lot with your life. But are you ready to be impacted by Jesus? Are you ready to stop living the life of sin? Are you ready to stop being cold? To stop being lukewarm? Hot today, cold tomorrow. Hot today, cold tomorrow. Are you ready to live for Jesus? Are you ready to say, Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. There are some sins I commit. I consider them minor. But now I want to come to you. Is there anybody like that this morning? Maybe you have been living a life of sin. God, there is grace in this house today. The life of sin does not pay. You are stealing, you are lying, you are fornicating, you are committing adultery, you are doing this, you are doing that. It does not pay. The devil is doing all of these things to trick you. The cap is giving you. He wants to collect your head. Repent. Guys, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. God loves you so much. The plans God has for you are so big. Sin will hinder you from entering into purpose. Sin will stop you from entering into purpose. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. God has a future for you. He has a future for you. God has a future for you. He has a future for you. Can you stop living in the life of sin, living the life of sin, and step into the newness of life? Step into the newness of life. Oh, you want to make a decision this morning? Let's rise up on our feet. Marcus Cuprande, La Pusque Lebra, Makiria Kate, La Baba Babada. Oh, 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 oh. There is grace for you in this house. It will be a disaster to leave this house with the sin you came with. Because there is grace. God is saying, I am making my grace available for you. If that one man, if you can just make that decision to say, Lord Jesus, I want to start again. I want to start again. I want to start afresh. Oh, Jesus, all eyes closed. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Makadu, brother, Beshendelia. All eyes closed. All heads bowed. Nobody looking at anybody. Nobody looking at anybody. Nobody looking at anybody. You have been living the life of sin secretly. Even if you are a minister, even if you are, whatever it is that you are, you must repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. There is a greater purpose for your life, and the devil is trying to cut it short. The devil is trying to stop you from entering into it. That's why it makes you keep sinning. Oh, there's God's grace for you. There's grace for you. Oh, brother, if you would like to rededicate your life to Christ, or if you would like to give your life to Jesus, can you raise your hand? Please, I'm begging you. Can you just raise your hand wherever you are? All eyes closed. All eyes closed. You would like to say, Lord Jesus, I want to stop living the life of sin. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? Wherever you are, can you raise your hand so I can pray with you? There is grace in this house this morning. Can you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand very quickly, very quickly. Raise it above your head. I can see that hand. Thank you, my brother. Raise it above your head. The Bible says, he will not be ashamed of us. Jesus will not be ashamed of you. You have no need to be ashamed of Jesus. You have no need to be ashamed of Jesus. I can see another hand. Raise it. Raise it above your head. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Don't care about that brother beside you. Don't care about that sister beside you. On the day Jesus comes, there will be nobody beside you. It will not matter who sat by your side. It will not matter where you were. You want to give your heart to Jesus? Raise your hand. I can see those hands. Will you do well to join me in front here very quickly? If you are in the congregation, join me here in front. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let me pray for you. My assignment is still quite much today. Join me in front. Please, brother, please come. Join me in front. Join me. Join me. Join me. Join me. No matter what you have done. No matter what you have done. No matter what you have, no matter what you have done. The grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus is able to save you. The grace of Jesus is able to save you. Is there anybody in the auditorium again? If you know, if your heart is beating fast, it's a sign you need to give your heart to Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. If you leave this world today, are you certain? Are you sure you are going to heaven? Are you certain you are going to heaven? Are you certain? Are you certain? Maria Banebolosa. I will count 1 to 5. I want to give you grace. 1 to 5. And then I will minister to these people. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.